You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Gentlemen, I am honored, really excited to continue our Confederate History Month coverage tonight with our featured guest of the evening, Kirk Lyons. Mr. Lyons, Esquire, co-founded and serves as the chief trial counsel for the Southern Legal Resource Center, a non-profit public law corporation which offers legal support to defend First Amendment violations, violation of civil rights, and discrimination against advocates of Southern heritage. He is, as Keith Alexander referred to him earlier in the show tonight, a lion among men and a real dandy. Kirk Lyons, how are you tonight, Kirk?
Brother James, I am very glad to be here. I am in an excellent mood, in fine fettle. we have had a party here tonight at the Lyons Casa and cooked 31 pounds of brisket, and not all consumed yet, ribs, and beef sausage, coleslaw, potato salad, kolaches, and now we are starting the fun part of the evening with what's called the smoke and choke. So, adult beverages and cigars. So, and there's a big bonfire going on outside.
Kirk is always impeccably dressed. Not unprecedented to see a cigar in a hand, perhaps even a very fine, gentlemanly glass of whiskey or bourbon. He is a true aristocrat and a fighter. This guy, I love this guy. He is live tonight on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, and a live wire as well. And it is Kirk is always serving as a master of ceremonies. He's either at a dance, judging a debutante's ball, or as he's doing tonight, a little party, a barbecue. Kirk is a social animal, to be sure. Well, Kirk, we've got a lot of ground to cover tonight, and I certainly don't want to take you away.
You got me all wound up, you know.
Well, I tell you that.
Shut down. I hope I don't, but I might. I'm going to work at it. I mean, well, the airwaves are going to be crackling and burning, so I'm just warning you, man. I'm all wound up.
Well, we know what we're going to talk about tonight. If you don't know what he's talking about, we talked a couple of days ago, a little pre-show barnstorming, and he's got a lot to say. And we're going to try to get to it in a segment-by-segment capacity. But first, let's start with this, Kirk, if we can. I read in the last hour, I met with a supporter of the show in the local area. He gave me a piece of paper. And the piece of paper had the names of four of his Confederate ancestors, when they enlisted in the war, what company, what battalion they served in, what they did. These aren't the names you'll read about in any history book, but they were heroes just the same as the heavyweights. They sacrificed as much. They risked as much. They were just as brave. And so it was an honor for me to read out the names of this local listener and remember the names of those unknown Confederate soldiers like my ancestor would have been.
Right.
And so I ask you now, Kirk, why is it now, why perhaps now more than ever, Should we remember our Confederate ancestors and emulate their example, and why are they worthy of our remembrance?
Well, one of the reasons is because they are family. They are living family to us. And I just ran across a third cousin of mine who our family separated over 100 years ago. We lost touch with each other 80 years ago. And I've reconnected with him, and our common ancestor is our great-great-grandfather, Gainham S. Lyons, who was a private in Captain John Spears White's company, the Sons of 76, which became Company H of the 26 O'Neills, Alabama Volunteer Infantry. And Gainham went through 4 years of war in Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. He would have been with General Rhodes when Jackson's surprise attack on Oliver Otis's 11th Corps at Chancellorsville took place, probably one of the best places in the world to be a Confederate, and then went through the hard years of Reconstruction, which forged us all as a family, which forged us as one people. And it's so neat to be able to find this third cousin, and third's pretty distant, you know, but all we have to know is the connection to understand and to renew the family connection. And I'm actually working on a screenplay, a movie screenplay on our family that was in northern Alabama at the time. And I have a fourth great-grandfather and his oldest boy who were murdered by Alabama Tories. They were waylaid on the side of the road, according to my great-great-grandmother, who passed these stories on to living family members. They were both allowed to pray before they were shot in the back of the head by Alabama Tories, which are traitors, which are Alabama Unionists, and that did the Yankees dirty work. And these men were dumped in a sinkhole and then found and brought to the family cabin. And my great-great-great-grandmother, Aunt Jenny, who is a legend in the mountains of North Alabama, got all of her kids out of bed and made them swear on the body of their father and their dead oldest brother that they would avenge their deaths and get everyone who was responsible for murdering their family members. And over the next 40 years, they got every one of them but one.
Well, it wasn't for lack of trying, was it?
I mean, that's our family. And those are our people, and it's not that long ago. And right now, every Confederate member of the Confederate community should understand exactly what our ancestors were trying to get away from. Because the obnoxious Yankees they had to put up with in 1860 are the same Demo-Bolsheviks we've got to put up with today.
Yes.
Everybody should have a perfect understanding of why we had to get out from these people. This is the best time in the world to be understanding this period of our history and understanding how the Constitution works and how those people have perverted it.
We have got a full hour here, ladies and gentlemen. I think after this hour with Kirk Lyons, you're going to be saying, why didn't you go with Kirk the full 3 hours? That's the kind of guest he is. Anytime Kirk Lyons appears on this show, I circle it on the calendar. I know that's going to be one we can hang our hat on at the end of the year. When we do the year in review show, I would say that was the night that I remember. Kirk Lyons, great guy to know, great guy to sit down and break bread with. Brisket, maybe a glass of whiskey. We'll be back with Kirk next.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip.
Now, talking about it, wasn't that long ago that our Confederate ancestors were fighting for our freedom. Fighting to realize what America was all about. It certainly wasn't that long ago when Johnny Horton had that hit, and it wasn't that long ago at all, certainly within the lifetime of our guest, my father as well. Kirk Lyons isn't my father, but Kirk Lyons was alive when that was a hit, as well as my father. But anyway, I would claim Kirk Lyons as my father. He's a great guy. Going back to family, Kirk, this came in from a mutual friend, Cody. And he writes, your ancestors are literally part of you. To understand yourself, you must understand them. And that is so true. And I was talking about this, Kirk. I know we have a fast-paced hour this evening, and there's something in each segment we want to get to. But I was talking about this with Michael Hill last week. And Michael, as it turns out, he had an ancestor at Shiloh. I had an ancestor at Shiloh. Michael was one time touring Shiloh with four compatriots, and it turned out that unbeknownst to them, before they went to the battlefield together, it turned out that all of their ancestors served together. Does it surprise you that we find each other, even through time and space, that the descendants of these people come to find each other 150 years later and come together?
It doesn't surprise me a bit. And I look at most of our friends in the Confederate community as extended family, you know, because we've grown up with the same folkways, the same heritage, the same shared history, a lot of the same viewpoints. I mean, we're not cookie cutter by any means, but, you know, we all grew up together like we all grew up in the same small town almost. You know, you have variations. You got the Louisiana variation, the Alabama variation, the Texas variation. But we all grew up, you know, with a lot of shared history and commonality. And so it never surprises me when I find out that, you know, a friend of mine's great-great-grandfather was in the same brigade as my great-great-grandfather, or that, you know, we may be eighth or ninth cousins. I've got some really sweet gals in South Carolina, and their father was from Texas, and he was a Roberts. And it turns out we share a common great-great-great-great-grandfather. And so I call her Cousin Holly and Cousin Raquel and Cousin Heather. They're cousins, as far as I'm concerned. They're just as much family as my closer kinfolk. And that's just the way it is down here.
Well, I mean, it's talk about genetic predisposition. I mean, certainly, what are the odds that I would find a guy like Michael Hill, or we would find each other, and then we would find you, and then all of these the people would come back into the community. I mean, it just happens that way, but we're not just
It's so funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bill Clinton and Pat Buchanan had great-grandfathers that fought in the same regiment, the 40th Mississippi.
You know, I did not know that, but you know what's funny? I was talking to Pat one time about this. I mean, he's been on the show a few times, but we had talked off the air as well. My Confederate ancestors come from North Mississippi, and his are buried in Oklahoma, Mississippi, which is just a county over from where mine are, were lived and died. So it's just all of that's amazing and fascinating. I could talk about that for the rest of the show, and it still wouldn't be enough time. But we're not just talking about the past. We are talking about the future as well. And I got to mention the Sam Davis Youth Camp. Now, this is something, a summer camp for boys, for young people.
And girls.
That they can go to. Tell us about it.
Girls.
Tell us about it before we run out of time this segment.
Well, Sam Davis Youth Camp, we've been doing Sam Davis Christian Youth Camp. We started in 2003 at the Ponderosa Bible Camp in North Alabama near Lookout Mountain. And it's a summer camp. It's a week of instruction and fun. Kids show up on Sunday. They bunk together, have common meals. There is usually 4 to 5 hours of instruction on different topics of Southern history, Confederate leaders, etiquette, ballroom dancing. We generally go out musket shooting. We generally have a cannon and train a boys crew and what I call a powder puff crew on artillery. And then generally Friday night we have a grand ball and ceremony to give everybody a certificate, feed them well, feed their family, and then dance their shoes off. And then everybody goes home. And in that week, you find these kids bonding and making friendships that last for years. And I've been doing this since 2003. And literally, there are kids that have grown up and are still in touch, that are married and have family, that made friends at the Sam Davis camp that are still together. And so it's a wonderful
program.
Say,
well, in this day and age and the current year, a Confederate youth camp, they couldn't get more than 3, 4, 5 kids. No, these are well attended. They're well attended, and they're attended by some of the best and the brightest. And as you mentioned, they form friendships.
And the one in South Carolina is at a refuge camp, a wildlife refuge camp, and it's really, really cool. They'll be there again, I believe, probably in June. You'll have to check your Confederate Veteran magazine or go online and find it. I apologize not having it in my fingertips. The Texas camp is going to be in a little town called Royce, Texas, and this is the first time we've been at this camp, but it's 80 acres, got two lakes, got canoeing, zip lining, swimming, fishing. Of course, we'll have the musket shooting and the cannon firing, and just a wonderful facility, and we look forward to having a camp there in July.
Right, and this is
No, August 9th through the 14th.
August 9th to the 14th. Well, if anyone's interested, this is something that people across the country, by the way, I have known business professionals and industrial heavyweights as far out as California who have sent their children to this. And this is something that that Kirk Lyons has a heavy hand in, run through in cooperation with, I guess I should say, the Sons of Confederate Veterans. It's a great thing. It's been an annual thing for years and years and years. And we can get you more information about that. But it's a Confederate youth camp, like think church camp, but with the Confederate and pro-Southern tilt, and just as healthy, just as wholesome, probably more healthy and wholesome, frankly, than a church camp now, depending on what church you go to. But in any event, the Sam Davis Youth Camp, something that Kirk Lyons has had a heavy hand in, along with the SCV. It's a wonderful thing, and it goes to show, Kirk, that we're not just talking about the past. We are focusing on the future.
We are planning
for the
future.
Some great new leaders coming up. Yes.
And I can either get the information to you if people want to contact Political Cesspool, or I can, you know, have them contact me, and I'll get them everything they need to know about applying for the camp and getting in contact with the counselors. And it's a great program, and it's been working for years now. So whatever I need to do to get that information out to your listeners, I'll be happy to do.
Well, I'll tell you, if anybody wants to email us, there's a couple of camps coming up this summer. So email us now, and Kirk Lyons will get the information to you. I would send my kids to it. They're not quite old enough yet, but they will be. And when they are, they'll go. We'll talk to Kirk about it. Folks, if it's good enough for me, you should consider it. Not that I'm better than you.
James,
I would do it. I would never ask you to do something you wouldn't. I wouldn't ask you to do for yourself. Yes, Kirk. We'll be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC says that about half of all American adults have received at least one dose of COVID vaccine. New data shows that more than 128 million people have received at least one dose, with more than 82 million people fully vaccinated. But despite those numbers, cases are still on the rise in many parts of the country. More than 20 states have reported a rise of at least 10% in new cases over the last week, with health officials putting the blame on the spread of variants of the virus. And the city of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, has enacted an 11 p.m. curfew, bracing for a seventh straight night of protests in the wake of the death of Daunte Wright. About 100 people were arrested Friday night for not heeding a dispersal order. The police officer charged with second-degree manslaughter in Wright's death had her first court hearing on Saturday. Former officer Kim Potter allegedly shot Wright during a traffic stop, saying she mistakenly pulling her firearm when she intended to grab her taser. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rockstar broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. To get started with your own show, email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
A group of House Democrats introduced legislation this week that would expand the number of Supreme Court justices from 9 to 13, a bill that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she has no plans on bringing to the floor. Senator Marsha Blackburn believes the move is one of political convenience. The Tennessee Republican tells Fox News that those now pushing for new justices have argued in the past against changing the court.
They know that the progressives want to see the court packed. They want to fill it with liberal justices so that they basically have a super legislative majority. Now, Ed Markey, 5 years ago, was at the Supreme Court standing in the exact same spot he was yesterday, calling for adding justices to the Supreme Court and saying 9 was enough. that we did not need to change the Supreme Court.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're going to play a quick clip here from the movie Gods and Generals, and we're going to transition the conversation now with Kirk Lyons, our featured guest of the night, and it's Confederate History Month after all, to contemporary issues. We're going to play this clip and see if history has proven Stonewall Jackson right, as he is portrayed in this scene.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart, use tobacco?
No, sir.
Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much. Sit down. Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54. Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche. Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we will be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy, infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy, but trot away.
One of my favorite scenes from the movie from the early 2000s. Hard to believe that movies that presented the South as favorably as Gods and Generals did, which was a Warner Brothers production, were released in theaters as late as the early 2000s. But Stephen Lang played Stonewall Jackson, in my opinion, incredibly well. And that was a scene in which Stonewall Jackson foretells what would happen to this country if the Union triumphed. Kirk, in your estimation, has history proven them right?
Proved them absolutely right. And see, we got a preview. Our kids learning history got a rare glimpse of what their ancestors saw, because they lived, our ancestors that lived through the 1850s and the sectional crisis in the beginning of the war, got to see, our young people got to see through their ancestors' eyes exactly what they saw as what was fighting them, just like what we're seeing now. And we can understand why our ancestors wanted to get away from these people so badly, because these are exactly the people we want to get away from today. We don't want to be in the same government with people like this, that think like this, that hate and despise us. We don't want to be anywhere near them. And so when California starts talking about leaving, we're saying, can we help you? What can we do to make this happen? You know? And so we've got a rare glimpse of what our ancestors saw and the people they were trying to leave from in 1860 and 61.
Yes, so
and
they have
really
improved.
It's gotten worse.
Well, I think, certainly. Look, I mean, people say, well, why didn't the founding fathers do this? Why didn't our Confederate ancestors do that? In terms of being proven right. But with regards to the founding fathers, I mean, look, we understand that all men are created equal. That had to do with a brother's quarrel with King George that didn't mean what they're saying it means now. No way could the founding fathers have envisioned transgenderism or homosexual marriage or any of the abominations of radical egalitarianism that manifested themselves.
And our founding fathers knew that this government would only work with a virtuous people. That you, if you want to be ancient Rome 470 AD, this ain't going to work. It will not work at all. And they understood all that, and they did the best they could. But no, there is no such thing as a perfect government. Even then, they understood that, as King Charles said, "I go from a corruptible to an incorruptible crown." And we don't get to that incorruptible part until we're translated, until we're in front of Saint Peter himself. So. You know, they knew that these things, they did the best they could. They didn't want political parties, but they got them anyway. And, you know, this country had a very good run, and now it's breaking up. It is ossified. It's old. It has an aging. Its founding stock is aging, and it is being taken over by demo Bolsheviks. We've been fighting, especially us monument people, have been fighting a communist insurgency for years, and now it has intensified. And now we are overthrown.
I don't want to divert from the conversational thread, but it should be mentioned that if people are tuning in and hearing you for the first time, Kirk, you've made several appearances on this program. You're well known. For the gallantry that you take into a courtroom. You are a chief trial law attorney for the SLRC, your Southern Legal Resource Center. You have fought these battles on behalf of monuments, on behalf of our people who are being discriminated against, violation of our civil rights. Yes, even white Southerners have civil rights. I don't know if people actually realize that.
Isn't it?
But you've been doing the battle in the courts.
James, even I can be shocked in these days. I thought that I'd seen it all. That these people really, really, really hate us. And we got a great example of this. The Vance Monument that was built to honor Zebulon Vance, wartime governor of North Carolina, colonel of the 26th North Carolina State Troops, later senator. And it was his monument was completely restored. They spent $250,000. And they rededicated his monument in 2015 and called it a monument to tolerance. That's how, because he was very friendly to the Jewish community in North Carolina. And so it was called a monument to tolerance. Well, now it's a symbol of white supremacy and it has to go. And we had a lawsuit filed by the 26th North Carolina Foundation because they had donated over $130,000 to restore this monument, and they didn't want it to be knocked into rubble. And that's exactly what these clowns have got planned. It is in the bidding contract. If you bid to take down the monument, you can't store it, you can't sell it, you can't give it away. You've got to knock it into gravel. It's in the contract. They, if you want to know how much they hate us, that is a good example right there.
Well, and of course, as we know, Kirk, and it's not hyperbole, they come for the fabric, your flags, they come for the granite, your monuments, and then they come for your flesh and blood. And this has been, I mean, history
teaches us
that.
It's only a matter of time. If they're coming for our monument.
History teaches us that.
Yep. And James, I'm here to say that if it is destined that I have to go into the boxcar, be herded into the boxcar, I'm going to deserve the ride. You know, and these people desire our extinction. They desire our extinction, and that's what we are fighting for right now. And if we're fighting for monuments, just fighting just to keep them from being ground into powder. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, we're on a playing field where we can start making our own rules. Because, like I said, I believe that we are under an illegal occupation. We were overthrown, And everybody needs to act accordingly. And so I do not recognize that thing in Washington. He is the creepster, his concubine. I call her the concubine, but I will not refer to him as anything more than the resident of the White House. And we need to act that way, and people need to treat these collaborationist politicians that are working with the creepster and the concubine as ETA. And that's a good historical term. Do you know what ETA is, James? Hello? Did I lose you?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1%
pay cut.
Okay,
I'm back again.
If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way. Abe heard the news about your fall. The folks thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way,
I can say that about my ancestors. Kirk Lyons can say that about his. Can you say that about yours? And if you can't, that's okay, because we're all Confederates now, and that's one thing I know Kirk wanted to get to tonight. Yes, Kirk, I could hear you in the last segment.
Okay.
I was listening all the way, and we ran into the break. And yeah, apologies for that. I was there,
that's
and I did
right.
hear you. But
hey, you know, but stuff happens. But yes,
it does.
What
it does.
Well, it's right. And I tell people this all the time. Oh, okay, fine. You don't know who your Confederate ancestor, or you don't have a Confederate ancestor. Be your own Confederate ancestor. Man, we got a lot to do today, and we need the inspiration of our ancestors and looking at the sacrifices they made, but we're going to have to do it in this generation and take our country back.
So that leads us to the current quandary and the current situation that we all find ourselves. I mean, I think sometimes... I was talking about this with the gentleman I met this morning, whose Confederate ancestors we were reading their names in the previous hour. Timing sometimes has to be right. You can be so right and so true in your beliefs and in your actions, but if the timing of society doesn't mirror what you need in order to make a breakthrough, it's just not going to happen. So timing is big. It's big on anything. It's big when you meet your wife. It's big if the timing isn't there, you
right.
know, that doesn't happen. And that doesn't blossom.
But James,
but go ahead.
Who would have thought that in this day and age they'd be talking about leaving the Union in Texas? I mean, we've never heard that before. We heard about it in Canada years ago, but who would ever thought we'd have heard it in the United States? And here we are, living and breathing, and they're talking about leaving the Union in Texas. And that's amazing. That's amazing. And who knows what will pull off. But it's essentially what's happening is what should be happening all over the country and is nullification. You know, that concept that everybody in your history class poo-pooed when South Carolina tried it back in 1831. But it's the remedy of the era, nullification. You got all this blah, blah, blah coming out of the distinctly corrupt Washington, and we have to have the interposition of the lesser magistrate, a concept that our revolutionary forebears knew all about. And we've got to put our sheriff or our state governor or someone between us and the feds, and that's called nullification. And that's what's happening and will be happening. You're going to see a lot more of it. And then you've got this idiot, the Department of Defense clown, that's going to be running all the best people out of the military. Oh, throw us in that briar patch, why don't you?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, we talked about that earlier in the show tonight, anyway, about Antifa firebombing Apple stores. You know, you're going to attack and destroy, you know, stores relative to the wokest corporation in America. I mean, what? How's that
right.
hurt us? But yes,
well,
I mean, so you've got now.
The left,
yeah.
The problem with the left is that when they mated, they didn't mate with the French, so their children did not learn finesse. And they're coming out with gangbusters on this stuff. They're not waiting. They're not going to just suck us in slowly. That phase is over. Man, they're going to push the whole money down our throats. And so hopefully normal America's gag reflex is going to kick in. I mean,
well,
that's
they're
what
push
we all
too
hope.
Far.
Yeah.
They push too far. They always
and
push too
it
far.
Now.
The founders of even leftism are becoming even more degenerate than their forebears. And it's a cycle of civilization, Kirk. We go back to the beginning of the year. I was talking about this for two or three shows back in January. It's all going to fall. It's all going to crumble. There's just no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is wait and watch and let it happen and then be ready to stoke the embers as we've been doing.
James, we have got to provoke the overreaction. Now, I don't tell people that it's time to, you know, grab the Molotov cocktail and take to the streets, but we have to provoke the overreaction. And that means we shut down. We do not listen to the creepster and the concubine. We do not listen to anything out of Washington. And we take these collaborationist rhinos and we turn them into Eta, which is in Japanese feudal society, Eta were the lowest of the lowest. They were the carcass gatherers. And if you're Governor Burr of North Carolina, and you vote to confirm this creepster nominee, Merrick Garland, for Attorney General, then you are ETA, and you will never hold elective office. You will not be dog catcher in this world ever again. And that's what we got to treat. We got to square away these stinking damn rhino Republicans. And that is happening now. That's happening all across the country. The Buncombe County GOP, which is a dormant, laissez-faire, stupid party, since the election, the so-called election, the stolen election, they have gotten rid of all of their rhinos. They have run them out and put them out to pasture because people are scared and mad. And we've got a new breed, and they don't want to call it the Grand Ole Party anymore. They want to call it the Gathering of Patriots. And that's happening in liberal Buncombe County right now. Right now.
That's interesting.
I'm so happy to see this.
Kirk, that is both interesting and encouraging because, yes, you have seen. I mean, we were talking about Tucker Carlson going to war against the ADL. Nobody would have done that in mainstream media. Nobody would be talking about critical race theory. I mean, things are happening now. I've been in this 16 years on the airwaves. You've been in it much longer in court. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, yes, there are individuals like Kirk Lyons who are true and bona fide battle-tested leaders. And there are organizations that are worthy of your support, like his Southern Legal Resource Center. And I would be out of order if I didn't make mention of the website. That is for the Southern Legal Resource Center, SLRC-CSA for the Confederate States of America, SLRC-CSA.org. That is one of the few that are worthy of your support, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Lyons, he battles in court. We battle on the airwaves. We battle together. Our ancestors fought together, literally gave flesh and blood. We sacrifice name-calling, and there is a real price to be paid even now, but not the price that our ancestors paid, at least not yet. And so we do the best we can with the opportunities available to us. SLRC-CSA.org. That'll take you to Kirk Lyons Southern Legal Resource Center.
And we got plenty of room for you in the trenches, and we enjoy the struggle.
We do enjoy the struggle. There's something about
suffering. We enjoy the struggle, exactly.
I think I quote Sam Dixon on this show probably about every week. I mean, but he made mention of this as well, and you were talking about this earlier. Abjure the realm. It's not our president. It's not our courts. It's not our media. It's their president, their courts, their media.
That's right. Provoke the overreaction. We need to think like revolutionaries, which means that we still got to act smart. We don't want to be precipitous, but provoke them into overreaction so that the herd runs our direction.
And that's happening.
And it's easy to do
it's
this
happening.
Day and age. It's happening,
happening
right now.
We're seeing.
And
you
it's
just
fun.
Made
it, it's fun.
Well, you're having a good time tonight, and I know in about 5 minutes when we're off here, you're going to be going back to your party, and you've got
and
great friends
and
great
family. I haven't
even
been able to have a glass of whiskey yet.
Well, we'll fix that in 5 minutes, brother. But
I'm doing this dry, James.
Well, we appreciate that. but listen, folks, he's going back to a party in 5 minutes. He took an hour away from his schedule tonight. He's always at a party or a debutante's ball or a dance. This guy is a social animal, but he's also a legal animal, and he's fighting in courts for your rights, and he deserves your support. I love Kirk Lyons. I love his family. He has friends and families, the likes of which you wish you had, and he did it without sacrificing any of his dignity or his honor. You can do it too. And I know a lot of
Absolutely.
Our audience do. I'm not talking to you, our audience. But, I mean, obviously our audience is of like mind and has similar circumstances. But for anybody who may be tuned in for the first time tonight who's scared, don't be scared. Things are going to break our way. But you got to keep the faith. You got to hold the line. And we can
right.
do
and
it. We can do it, and we will do it. Well, the best of the best. There they are. And I'm sure they appreciate that. And, yes, we have met the best people of my life that I've ever met. I have met as a result of this work. And there's no doubt about that. It doesn't even come close. Join the family. Join the struggle. A struggle and suffering will bring you together, and it will temper you, and we have to be ready to face the furnace of our tribulation. We will come out smelted and polished on the other side. Kirk Lyons, thank you so much, my friend. Go back and enjoy the rest of your evening and with your party.
Thank you, James, so much. And I'll say hello to everybody for you.
Love you. Indeed, please do, please do, please do. And we'll wrap up Confederate History Month next week, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. God bless you.